question. More questions? Yes.
Somebody was asking today morning, when he gave the class, that many devotees present when they come to Krishna consciousness without practicing brahmacharya. Because they asked us, so what is their plight?
What is their plight? They have to work at it. It just means it's more difficult. The idea that, see, it's like this. Did a baby become cultured just on its own? Right? It just happened. Yes?
Not possible.
No, not possible. So, in the same way, is someone going to be a good parent just because they produce a child? Or does somebody just automatically become a good grihastha because they got married? Understand? That is the modern concept. Attachment, material attachment, is the qualification. Right? I know how to raise a child because I had one. But it just means you knew how to produce a child. It doesn't mean you know how to raise one. Raising is another thing. Producing is... Dogs, cats make plenty. I mean, it's like they're experts. Humans are at 1, 2, 3 year story. Sometimes someone has 6 children at once. Dogs, 6 is nothing. You know, 6 is normal. Dog only had 1 puppy. You think this is strange, right? In my time. Right? So just because one has attachment doesn't make one qualified. Because of attachment, you put your energy there, you put your thought there. Therefore, because of that, they put some attention, and they learn as they go. Or maybe they see the need, and so they go to some, you know, some authorities, or someone who may have some, you know, some experience, and then try to gain something from that. That's at best. But generally, most things, because they're attached, therefore they know what is best for the child. How does the two go together? I'm attached to money. Does that mean I know how to make it or I know how to spend it? It just means I'm attached to money. Right? I'm attached to women. Does it know how I know how to take care of them? Right? A man is attached to a woman. What is he attached to? Right? He's attached to how crazy they are. Right? Of course. They're attached to all their emotional upsets and disturbances. He's attached to all their attachments. Right? Is that what men are attached to women about? Think about it. No. They're attached to women because they look nice, they speak nice, they deal in a feminine way, you know, they cook nice, or, you know, they deal, they do different things that are nice, if they've been trained to be nice. Right? They haven't been trained to be nice, which is, you know, coming now. You know, it's the modern thing. You know, the old-fashioned thing is girls are trained. And nowadays they don't train. So now what are you attached to? The skin, the smile. So because you're attached to a woman's physical form, does that mean you know how to take care of a woman? Right? You understand? So that's the whole thing. I like little kids when they're smiling and giggling and happy. But when they're yelling and screaming and running around and... Right? So that's the whole point is that it takes training. So if you've had the training before, then it makes it much easier when you're doing it. If not, then you have to get on-the-job training. So therefore, then, right? So then, that's the grihastha's position. Is if they're already, see, is a lot of these things is they know how to be, you know, perform their duties. So if they come from a, you know, a decent background, they know how to behave properly. What are the duties of the man? What are the duties of the woman? What is the duties of the parents? So So from a pious platform, they know what to do. Now all they have to do is figure out how to get that into Krishna consciousness. The difficulty comes is the pious background they've grown up in, at least this generation. Their father or grandfather may have been different, but this generation, most likely they didn't have the experience of being detached from women. Like that. So therefore, there's an over-dependence upon them. And if you're overly dependent upon women, you can't satisfy them. You know? Means if you're independent of women, you can satisfy them. You're dependent upon them, you can't satisfy them, right? What is attractive? Attractiveness is what is rare. Right? Right? If I bring in, you know, a rasgulla, right? Okay, just, you know, oh, what's this? We get it in the street, you know, I hear it, the guy next door, it's a big deal. I say it's Mahaprasad, well, I say it's Mahaprasad from New York. You understand? So, rarity. So, if a man is dependent upon women, then they're cheap. You understand? Yes. Men who are not dependent on women, that's rare. So, therefore, so that will be a weakness, but it'll have to be worked on. It'll have to be worked on. So with practice, they understand the principles. In other words, there is the, if one goes from brahmachari into grihastha life, then it's natural. Like that. If one already finds oneself in the situation, then one has to deal with it intellectually. And by that practice, then try to put everything into place. Right? So culturally it may be in place, though it will be weak on one side. The detachment side will be a little weak. But by intelligence and that enthusiasm, you know, especially if one is new coming into Krishna consciousness, then one will put one's mind there, and it's easier to give up things that one shouldn't and accept like that. Especially if both husband and wife are both equally enthusiastic. Then they'll hear about what they should do, not do, and whatever it is they've done or not done, then they'll just do it. Like that. So that statement is more for those who are, you know, in the grihastha ashram and feel that they really know what they're doing. Because if they really knew what they were doing, they'd understand the importance of the brahmachari ashram. But the ones who feel they know what they're doing, then for them, it may be more difficult. Especially if then they don't support the brahmachari ashram. Because if there's no brahmachari ashram, there is no culture. That's the thing. You know, that's the difference. Means you see, as before, even though they may not have gone away to the gurukul, which is the ideal, but men and women were separated. And so, you know, boys and girls didn't mix, and so therefore they would only mix when they got married. And then you'd see those marriages worked. Right? And then therefore they can, you know, they can perform at least the duties of the grihastha ashram properly. Whether they're able to connect it to Krishna, that's another thing. But now in the modern society, then, you know, boys and girls are all hanging out together right from the beginning, teenage. But then you also look at the quality of the marriages. Before, divorce was rare. Separation was rare. Now it's commonplace. So then, who really knows what's going on? Right? They say, no, this is modern, this is this, we can't be old-fashioned. But then they have to at the same time say, yes, we are very much interested in divorce. We don't want any relationships to last. Having a nice, functioning, you know, wholesome relationship where, you know, the children have parents to depend upon and, you know, all this kind of thing. It's old-fashioned. We want this, you know, broken families and completely, you know, insane children who are, you know, just have difficult attitudes because of being neglected and, you know, we want selfishness and we want, you know, it's where they say individual, just replace it with the word selfishness. That's all. It's the easiest. It's hard to understand. You have to translate it. You know, the new speak is, you know, express our individuality means I should be allowed to be selfish. That's what they're, that's the new speak. So the difficulty comes is when they say what everyone's likes, well, you know, I can say I'm very narrow-minded, but then just look at the results. You look back before, what were the results before? You can ask. You know, it's like you don't hear of, in India, the grandparents being divorced. Right? You just don't hear of it. It's just, you just don't hear of it. Right? Parents, something, something, or they're going on. They're not really happy. But this generation, it's a normal thing. It's, you know, more commonplace. And you'll find next generation will be divorced. Like that. So it's, you can see is that though they're speaking one thing, the result is another, right? The result means if we want to be modern, then it should be result-oriented, right? So, result, what's the result? What's the practical? Therefore, it doesn't work. So the whole idea is therefore brahmacharya ashram is important, no matter what one is interested in. One is interested in spiritual life or material life, unless there's proper training, nothing will be successful. Right? Unless you're trained, how are you going to be good? Like that. You know, someone will say, well, what if they're just naturally good at it? Okay, well, that's one person. Now what about the other 999? Okay, what about them? So like that, then it's important. Then within that, then training how to distinguish between matter and spirit, that's even more important. More delicate, more training is necessary. Because the pious, you know, householder, the pious Grihamedi doesn't mean nonsense, rascal, meat-eating, you know, sex-mongering, you know, just demons. That's not what Griha maybe means. That's called a demon. Yeah. Like that. Griha maybe means the house is the center and everything goes around that. So that can include God, that can include piety, it can include all these things. Right? So you can have a very nice, pious family, the Griha maybes. That's the point. So to be able to tell the difference between what is a Grihamedi and Grihastha is what is in the first position. God or the house? That makes a difference. So this is an important thing. Otherwise, why would it be mentioned to devotees? If for devotees it wasn't like you're a devotee, so therefore automatically, yes. A devotee means yes, automatically God's in the center. But we have to remember is we're aspiring devotees. We're devotees in practice, sadhana bhaktas. So sadhana bhaktas means actually we're not devotees. We're aspiring to be devotees. And if we're devotees, yes, automatically a grihastha, I mean devotees, it will be a grihastha. They'll be a, you know, advanced person. Right? But we're aspiring, so we have to be able to distinguish. Otherwise we may make a mistake and go down the wrong path. Because one has to balance all the things. One has to see to the needs of the family, you know, economics, and all these things. But one can't do it at the expense of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if he does, then that's called Grihamedi. Otherwise, why does Bhagavatam discuss it? Adverse fruit of activities. Are they talking sinful there? If you look at it, you'll see they're not talking about sinful activities. They're talking about pious, nice activities. But the problem is that's prominent. The prominent thing in the life is not Krishna, it's the, you know, sweet dealings of the wife, the, you know, innocent dealings of the child, you know, the actual economic needs of the house. You understand? This is the difficulty. So if one can make this distinction, that's the most important. You know, and then see how to engage myself in Krishna's service. So if one can do that fully, then one doesn't need the Grihastha ashram. right? Senses are already engaged. But if there's more, then you expand that. I remember somebody mentioned that they had heard, when, last time I was here, a discussion on brahmacharya, ashram, like that. And they said, I heard the class, and it didn't sound so much like a brahmacharya talk. Right? Brahmacharya lecture is supposed to be, yeah, women, you know, masculine, like that. That's supposed to be a brahmacharya. Like this. But the point is it's you're dealing with the same tools. Right? It's a matter of how you're using it to work for you. You know? I mean, the brahmachari knows how to use it to just engage his senses alone. Therefore, when one's alone, then one has less needs. Right? Less things he has to engage. Right? Like that. Much easier. But then the grihastha then has more to engage. Because then he has to engage the wife's senses, children's senses, their facility, all these different things. So it expands. So the principle is the same, detail is different. So sometimes the detail changes so much, then they should give it a different classification. But the principle is still the same. Body, mind, and words engaged in the Lord's service is still the same, doesn't change. So actually it is when you know something, then you know how to deal with it. So it will create two things. It will create a good, nice speaker brahmacharya, because you see, well, this is what it is, so why get involved? Or I don't need it, I don't require it. But you understand what it is. And the Upakurvana Brahmacharya understands what's involved, so he understands how he has to be a good Brahmacharya to be able to perform those duties. So in both ways it creates, but it will create two kinds of Brahmacharyas. You know, one that will get married and one that won't get married. Like that. So that's the science, same principles. Then the details are another thing. Is that?
Yes. In the last class, we were discussing.
Last meeting, Brahmacharya.
Yeah, last Brahmacharya class. We were mentioning Krishna's dealings as a Brahmacharya and as Vamanadeva, and also. His devotees also give example in the scriptures of how to properly behave as a brahmacharya. The question, this is regarding, I had asked a question regarding the different etiquettes brahmacharya deals with in different social aspects. And you answered that Krishna gives directions personally as Vamanadeva and his devotees also in the scripture in regards to women, in regards to grihasthas, in regards to other aspects of the social fabric, views and whatnot. So, could you give some specific examples of how Krishna is personally, by his example, showing these different social dealings as Vamanadeva and perhaps also some other devotees that you're referring to in the Shastras, how they give specific examples of their dealings in these regards?
You see, Brahmacharya is a mood. Like that. That's all of them are moods. Because, see, we generally take, that was one of the points of the discussion in the Bhagavatam class this morning, is that we tend to take what's external as the substance. So it's like, you know, yeah, we're really austere, you know, I ate only two chapatis today, and, you know, stood on my head all night. You know, do these kind of things. So then, therefore, we're really advanced. Okay, maybe we're advanced in austerity, but devotional service is another thing. If that austerity is favorable being done for Krishna, then it is devotional service will advance. If it's austerity just for austerity, austerity is not devotional service. Austerity is a tool we use in devotional service to free ourselves from attachments that are not Krishna. So we see is that more important is the attitude. Because the subtle comes, the gross comes from the subtle. And Gita explains this. The desires of the mind, that it groups senses around the mind, and then naturally has a gross body that holds those senses. The senses include the intelligence. So then from the mind gets the intelligence, then gets the ego, which is the gross body. It's the same way, it's lust. So lust manifests the gross body. So depending on what kind of lust you had, that kind of gross body you'll have. So in the same way, depending on what is your mood, that's going to manifest in the gross body. That's the thing. It's the same way as what is your mood. That's the principle. So it goes from subtle to like that. So now, brahmacharya, then we see so many nice examples, like Krishna and Balaram, they were very submissive to their teacher. You know, mentions that they did all the nice, they were submissive, did menial service. You know, they were always very inquisitive, all these different things. So brahmacharya is a student, so student must learn. Student must have to learn, you know, to learn means to gain knowledge. But to gain knowledge, you must want to gain knowledge, and you must inquire to gain knowledge. If you don't inquire, then nothing will happen. It means that this is the desire to exchange, to gain knowledge and to give knowledge. This is the dynamic principle that makes the process work. So someone who wants knowledge finds someone who wants to give knowledge, and then it works. Otherwise, you don't want knowledge, and even someone wants to give, how they'll get it. Or you want, but someone doesn't want to give, how you'll get it. Okay? So both must be there. So the brahmacharya must see how to get the desire to learn. Right? Because that's important. If you don't have the desire, you won't question. You know, you won't practice. So we see that Krishna is a brahmacharya. The first thing they did was menial service. They perform sadhana. By the sadhana, then that develops the desire to learn. Then that desire to learn, then you study, you question, you practice. And by that practice, then develops more desire to learn. So it just keeps going. And that practice then also, besides developing more desire to learn, also develops the ability to understand. To realize. By practice you understand, by practice you realize, and by practice then you want to learn more. So practice becomes the most important. And if you don't practice, somebody knows so much and then you try to explain how they should do. No, we know all these things. But they don't know all these things. Because if they're not practicing, they do not know. That's the thing. People have knowledge, but actually they don't know. That's why Prabhupada says armchair philosophers. They think they know, but they don't know anything. One can say academically, yes, they are very knowledgeable, they have vast knowledge. But the knowledge is not actually applicable. The knowledge, they'll say, no, very applicable. What is it applicable in? It's applicable in teaching a class to make more such people. Right? One armchair philosopher can then produce hundreds of armchair philosophers. But an armchair philosopher, we don't hear of them either interested to or that they are needing to produce someone who actually can practice that philosophy. It's not an important thing. You know, someone knows Greek literature. Yes, they can talk all day about Greek literature and produce more people who will talk about Greek literature. But do any of them live the Greek literature? Do any of them value that lifestyle, that anything that's there? No. It's not important. It's not necessary. Right? The Latin teacher, can they speak Latin? Maybe not. It's not important. If they do, it's for fun. You know? Or they speak, you know, like in the church, they'll do their ceremonies in Latin, they understand what it means. No. It's So therefore, like that. So the point is the knowledge has to be practiced. Then you gain. Like that. Even within the academic, even within the purely theoretical, you have to study and discuss what it is to understand just the theory of it. So even there must be some practical. So that's the austerity, is the application. That's where austerity then gives the result. So you're trying to create a mentality. So that's the first, is the menial servant. Right? That's the attitude. Right? A brahmachari means that he is a servant. So therefore, it's very close to the nature of servant of Krishna. Right? A servant is servant. It's just a matter of who you're going to serve. You want to serve, there's a principle of that. So the principle means is that you must render service. You know? And the service should be favorable. Right? And that the service, if you're interested in the individual, you have to include the interests and the paraphernalia and the associates and all that of the person you're serving. Otherwise, if you serve the person and not anyone else, not a good servant. You see, it's a very common thing is that you see someone will be serving their guru, right? So then everybody's sitting down and taking prasad and not, you know, and the guru is sitting with his god brothers or friends or, you know, some special people, but the servant, the good servant, so-called good servant, then he only serves his guru and he thinks he's doing great service. He's not doing any service at all. Guru is sitting alone in his room? Yes, then it's nice service. He's sitting with other people means he is expecting the service will go on for everybody, equally. So then this is not service. Right? So it's because, no, it's only my guru. Everybody else in this is a shmo. Right? You know, but my guru is special. This is not actually a good servant. This is self-centered. Because he's my guru, that's why he's special. Right? The speciality is that person's connection to me as a guru. That's what's special. Because that person over there is a guru, but not connected to me, so not special. You understand? So it looks like guru bhakti, but it's not. It's actually self-centered. So therefore, that's why, you know, that is there. The service, favorable service to them and whatever is dear to them. And they have a mood. They have certain determinations, certain goals and that. So one has to accept those. Otherwise, how one will know what service to render? How to render service to, you know, their associates. Right? You won't know. So then the mood has to be taken. So that is the mood of the good servant. So that is the mood of the Vaishnava, you know, towards Krishna and, you know, the devotees. That's the mood of the brahmachari. Right? That's the mood of the wife to the husband. It's the same principle. That is servant. And he's, you know, servant to master. Like that. Child to the parent, student to the teacher. Like this is the same principle. So then one has to, you know. So this is then how service works. So whoever it is that is, even, you know, friend to friend, husband to wife. They see that as just if they take care of the other person or deal and what's favorable to them, what's connected to them, like this. So then this must be seen. So that's very essential. Like that. So we see Krishna and Balaram, and they did all these things. What they studied, they did this, they studied the Vedic literature, then they studied literature that was specifically applied to them in their position. And then they studied also just the fine points of for us, the Vaishnava etiquette and interaction, dealings, whatever it is within our service, the fine points of it. So that they knew how to do it nicely in a refined way. So we see Krishna and Balaram's doing like that. You know, they're going out and in menial service, then they're going out and collecting firewood. Krishna and Sugama Brahman. Like that. So that's they're working together. Camaraderie is there. They can work with others. Because they're serving together, so they can work together. Like that. Brahmachari can't work together with others. The general tendency is they have to have somebody to work with. So then such a person, somehow or another, all thinks that then the association of women will fulfill that need to associate. But if you can't work with others, you can't work with a woman. Right? You can't work with another brahmachari whose needs are very minor. Right? And they're not so sensitive. And you can't deal with them because it's too difficult. How are you going to deal with a woman whose needs are so much more and the sensitivity is so much more? Right. Therefore, then you see then the term that Vedas comes, dancing dog. Because to make it work, then they just have to totally just whatever the woman wants. There can't be, it's not really an interaction. Yeah. Point is, so that we see then Krishna is very expert in this way, able to work with others, able to appreciate what they've gotten, what they've gained. We see later in Dwarka when Sugama Brahma comes to visit, and this would have been a long time. Because they were in the Gurukul, so he would have been, just when he left Vrindavan, it would have been around the end of 10 or 11 years old. And then after that, he was there in Mathura for a long time, then he established Dwarka. Then he married all the queens and all these things. Then Sugama Brahma's come. So it's quite a long time later. And so then he's saying, whatever we learned of use in our life, we learned in the Gurukul. Because that's the foundation. From there you build. Like that. It's understood. It means you can't learn everything in this school because life is itself is a learning process. You can learn, the teacher can teach you all the principles on which you will learn. The foundation. So they will give that, but then you will study yourself, you will learn from others' experience, and you will learn from your own experience. But it will all be based on those principles that are gained as a brahmachari. And therefore that studiousness is very important. So we see that before that menial service, that chastity, the studiousness, camaraderie, able to work with others. We see this Vamanadeva, then we see he was, he'd go out begging. He wants to improve the situation of the demigods, but he's doing it through begging, as a brahmachari. And he's going to, he's coming like that. And he's, looking like a young child and all that. So he's dealing in that way. We'll see is that Bali Maharaj's daughter, she sees Vamanadeva. She thinks such a nice little boy. Like that. So then his moods are there. He's not walking around like he's a big brahmachari. Okay. Like that. So So the mood is not maturing, it's also that of the child. As soon as they're, you know, with a big guy, then the big guy means, what's a guy? Right? And guys need gals. Right? That's the point. You're the big man, then the big man needs a big woman. And if one's not the big man, then one doesn't need women. Like that. It says, behind every great man, there's a woman. So if you want to be the big, great guy, then you have to have a woman behind. So that's the thing. That's very monetary, so I'm worried about being big and recognized and this and that. You know? If they need that to, you know, the book distribution goes on because you're so inspired when you hear your name read out in the morning and everybody goes, like that. Then you're inspired to go out that day and show them that you can do even better. Then such a person will generally find down the line is, after a while, it gets boring that the brahmacharis have all said, Hari Bol. After a while, you have to hear the women say, Hari Bol. So then you have to get married. And then after a while, the women get tired of saying Hari Bol, so then one has to take sannyas. So Brahmachari, he tries to function without ego. Because then without ego, he can do menial service, he can work with others, he can tolerate any situation. He can be simple, austere, all these different things. He's, you know, truthful. Like that. Satyakama, he was very truthful. He's known for that, he's known for his... main thing is that. He was very truthful and very introspective. Like that, he would contemplate what he had heard, or, you know, what little he had understood. And so, like that, he had contemplating, trying to apply. In other words, he was applying what he had learned. So, not only do you physically apply what you know, but you also intellectually apply. But, you know, you try to see it expanding. You've gotten the principle, not try to understand the details, how the detail, you know, birth, death, old age, and says, okay, how do you see how it works everywhere? Just everything works in that. All living entities, all like that. So therefore everything's temporary. So then you distinguish between spiritual and material. You can tell that what is spiritual lasts, even though on this plane it may or may not last. It lasts. You know? It's like the performance of the service lasts. You know, it's like now fixing the temple. So the endeavor to make a nice temple, build a temple like that, that will last. The sandstone here, it may last, it may not last. You know, I can't expect to come back in 10,000 years and it'll still be there. Maybe it'll be there, maybe it won't. But the endeavor to do it, that always is there. So one has to be able to distinguish. And also to be able to see is that it's engaged in Krishna's service, therefore it's eternal. But when it's not engaged in Krishna's service, it's not eternal.
Man is happy when a woman
just so that you are, you know, will answer the question. And my point is you're asking this because you're a man. Like that, women don't ask this. They understand. this is how the system runs. Because the men don't understand this point. The men that understand this point, then they don't get married. So the women aren't very interested that the men understand these points. Okay. So now, it's just like a fish lives where? Okay, but what is it trying to get from the water? It needs water? It's the oxygen that's in the water. So it feels the water, but it's looking for the oxygen. Right? So man's field is things. So he's comfortable with things. But he's looking for what's not in the things. He's looking for the emotion. Right? You say a beautiful woman, but just the beautiful woman just stands there, or does she have to interact with him? What if you're with that beautiful woman, but she's smiling at someone else? Is that good enough? Right? Okay, she says she cooks nice food. Okay, you come home and she says, yeah, it's in the microwave. Maybe good. You just have to push a button and be ready in 3 seconds. Is that good enough? You understand? Food just, you get it yourself, or the wife puts it on the plate. And she puts it on the plate just any old way, or it has to be nice. You understand? Because a man gets things. Therefore, it's also a prestige for him amongst other men, is his ability to get things. So the woman that I've got looks better than the woman you got. Or my woman has more nicer dress than your woman, or more ornaments than your woman. So it's just a prestige on the ability to, your one's manliness and ability to collect things. But the interaction with the things has to be emotional. Does that make sense? That's one side. The other side's the woman's side. I'm just saying, is this side okay? Okay, now on the woman's side, is their field is emotion, right? But emotions aren't steady, right? Things are dry, dead, so the man's looking for the life. Woman, they're dealing with all this nice, funky life, but it just keeps transforming and moving. They want something solid that makes it, you can hold it. Like, water's nice, but if you don't put it in the container, you don't have it. Air moves around, but you need something to hold it. Therefore, house, you know, things, this, that. You understand? So, because it's their realm, so they're always a little emotional, so you always have to help them when they go a little too this way, a little too that way. Right? But if you just help them emotionally and that's all, is that enough? They're called a friend. Okay, a good friend. When they have a problem, they come to you, this, that, say so many things, and that, and then happy, you go away. Right? What's a man happy with? He's happy with the intellect and the emotional interaction. They come, they depended upon him. You know, they had a problem, you help them solve it. So you feel good that you're the big guy, protector of all the ladies. And the woman had said, you know, okay, she has a little thing. But now she gets back to reality. Who's the guy giving the things? The goods. The ball. Right? Right? And if the guy, what's the typical thing, right? One of the typical complaints. The guy's at the house, this, that, not doing anything. And the woman is just happy that he's around the house. Okay, hey, get out of here, lazy bum, go make some money, you know. Vedic culture is for is so that these two basically actual opposites interact in such a way that each one of them is satisfied. Because each one has what the other one wants, so it's mutual, it's a cooperation. What man has is what woman wants, and what woman has is what man wants. But there's a certain way it must interact, otherwise, then it's a mess. If women act with men how they act with other women, men will be shocked. You know, and if men act with women how they act with other men, it's women will find it, you know, just rough and terrible. Right? So that's the thing, is men act with women differently than they act with men, and women act with men differently than they act with women. So this whole thing of be yourself, do what you want to do, makes for no interaction. So bottom line is that if you clear everything away, all this and that, at least this, it means, okay, woman can go out and get a job, get her own stuff. You know, man can hang out with the other man and kind of get so emotional, this, that. But the bottom line is sex kind of is a little tough to work out. Somehow or other, there's a good match there. But even that, people that are working out today, they don't care. You know, like that. So then, you know, it's just, and then what do you have? You have nice families. Right? You get two, you know, lesbians or two gay men together, you have that. Somewhat, but you know, still some difficulties are there. I mean, make found children, this is a bigger problem. Like that. You know, of course, adoption agencies are there and this and that, but you know, so it just turns things into kind of very strange. You know. And you'll see within that, if you get two together, one will be the man, one will be the woman. Still, you can't get away from it. So the whole idea of the Vedic culture is to understand what is my nature, you know, so what are the basic fundamental behaviors I should have? What is someone else's nature and their behaviors? Then what is the interaction between the two natures? Because all of the natures are, it's just like you have a, you know, broad personality, but how much of it do you show at any one time? Right? When you're with your parents, you show one side, with your friends, you show another, intimate friends, another side, you know, spiritual master, another side, Ramakrishna, another side. So, like that, and depending upon who you're with, you'll show that much, and then it maintains the relationship. If you show to your parents what you show to your friends, the relationship will be broken. Or the same. If you deal with your close friends like you do with your parents, they'll say, what's wrong? What's going on? Understand? So that's the whole science. Varnashram means the science of personal and interpersonal relationships. You know, your own personal, you know, how to understand yourself, your relationship with yourself, and your relationship with others. And not only, it expands not only just to other living entities, other humans, but other living entities and other objects. So you know how to deal with material nature, you know how to deal with inanimate objects, animate objects, and inanimate, you know, whatever, living entities, human beings, and within that, then a wide variety. Even within that, you deal with a dog differently than a cow. You know the banyan tree differently than the weed. Like that. So, you know, Shaligram different than just a, you know, a brick. So you can, if you learn to differentiate. Because then the whole idea is you can differentiate then between matter and spirit. And you can differentiate in rasa. You can tell the difference between material rasa and spiritual rasa. And within that, what is the difference in the rasas? That's ultimately what it's for. But since we're not going to use it, then, you It's just like the kid goes to school, right? He learns engineering, right? He doesn't know what's going on. All he knows is parents tell him he's got to do it. So if you're learning engineering, then you could say, well, it's artificial, this, that. When he gets older, he'll understand. Right? So the same way as the skills are there. When he needs it, you know, when he's young, yeah, well, so much this, that. You know, when he gets older, wants to get married, have a job, and, you know, take care and all, he already has the skills. So the same way as in the Vedic culture, it trains you in all these skills, so you may not understand them at all, why they're there, why they're for. But then when you take up Krishna consciousness, or become serious about Krishna consciousness, you already have the tools. You already know what his relationship is. Right? He's a kid, he has two mothers. Right? Right? Like as a kid, the mother divorced the father and then, you know, started living with another woman. Okay? So he's got two mothers. And the kid never knew his father. How do you explain to this kid how God is the father? He doesn't know, all he knows is mothers. So maybe you could explain to him, you know, Ma Kali is our mother. It would be very difficult. So therefore, then all these things are put in place in the experience, and you learn to go from the reflection into there. You look at the sea. See over there, okay, follow this, you know, see the straight ground part, okay. And then over there, and then it branches out a little bit, okay. Then over there, then you see that there's some little green kind of long things. Those are leaves. Oh, okay. But those are real leaves. That's what a leaf looks like. And then you turn around and then you look at the tree and say, now where are the leaves? And they'll go up and they'll go, oh, those green things. So that's what it's for. That's how, why the Vedic culture is set up. Is that every little detail is done. But it takes, one has to be intelligent. Otherwise one gets bogged down, one thinks that the study of the illusion is the substance. Or the results of that study or practice are the substance. No, it is that by that you've engaged until you've understood the principles. And then you should be able to take those principles and beyond and connect them. That's the purpose. So therefore, if you can understand the principles and connect it to Krishna without getting into the detail, it makes it a lot easier. Right? Just like the brahmachari means he understands the principles of household life and he doesn't have to get into the details to understand it. So therefore, he can either skip it or get into it and apply it. So if you know one subject, then basically you know all, because it's all Krishna.
Didn't you say that the Vedic woman is working? She would like to remain single because she always has a kid?
No, not necessarily. Woman doesn't necessarily, because the point is, as we mentioned before, is because of their nature, their field is emotions, you know, and senses. Then they like to be in that environment. That's the environment they're comfortable in, though their need is those things. So, therefore, if they don't find it with other men, then they'll look for other women. So they will be in an emotional environment, but their purpose is to get things. A man is comfortable in an environment of things, but he needs the emotion. Men are into all of the gizmos, this, that. Women aren't so much. You know, it's practical for getting stuff, okay, you know, like that. But otherwise, you know, they can talk to some of their friends or kids. Or this, you know, they're not so much into gizmos. Right? The phone is something, it's not a thing. It's a medium for exchange. Their CD player, it's music, it's senses. Their emotions and senses aren't separated. Men, they can separate them. Women can't. they are the same to them. That's why when, you know, they have emotional, you know, towards a kid, they have to touch them, they have to feed them, they have to deal with it. The senses must be involved in it. But for men, it's separated. Like that. Really, it's not. So, therefore, there's always overlap. We're simplifying it just to make it understood. But then, whichever it is in the one, it's the opposite in the other. So that's all. It flips, you know. You know, it's like women are always emotional. So we take them as the gentler and all this. But actually, when it comes to emotions, men are much deeper than women. If men are emotional, they're deeper than women. Women can't go as deep as men in emotions. That's why a man, therefore, feels unsatisfied. He's lived with a woman 20, 30 years, and whatever he feels he was thinking to get, he never got. Right? You talk to any man. And for the women, is no matter what she got from the men, she always wanted more. Right? So it's just, you know, at least they had the stuff. That's why the man then leaves, because he was looking for the emotional, it's not there, and the woman was looking for the things, so she didn't get as much as what she wanted. But she's got it, so she's left with the things. Right? The man leaves, goes to the forest, the woman stays with the stuff. It's like that here. That man wants to take sannyasa, he has to set things up for his wife, right? Make sure she's got some stuff and some security and all that. And everybody just nods their head, yeah. Well, why is that? Why not that, you know, he keeps all the stuff for sale, that the woman takes him, yes. You know, it doesn't work like that. Some women will say yes, for how long? So instead it's just, certain things just, nobody even questions. It's just, like, you know, you say, you know, women sometimes get overly emotional. And I understand. You know, mothers always, doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, how responsible you are, they always come and, you know, you're not taking care of yourself, you're not eating properly, you know, you're not this, you're not that, why don't you take care of your health? And everybody goes. But if you had the same quality as them, your father would come and already take care of it. Say, what's this? What's so wrong with your father? Right? Man always gets emotional and all that. You think something's wrong. So it's just, we just don't think about it. It's just unspoken because it's just the way it is. You know? You see something running around on four legs, a long wet nose and a tail, and it's going around sniffing anything that's vertical. What do you call it?
Dog.
Yeah. Now, is that only in Bombay they do that? Or only in India? Or only in Asia? Not anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter if the dog's this big or the dog's this big. They do exactly the same thing, same occupation. Right? And they know who each other is also. Dogs know each other's a dog, even though they're totally different. You know, they look different, they're totally different species. But they know each other's a dog. Right? So like that. So it's just, there is an inherent nature, just we never think about it. So the Vedic system is to think about it, understand it. Because if we don't think about it, we're conditioned to it. It's normal. No, it's not normal. Right? Because normal is the feminine nature is directed at Krishna. Right? The masculine nature is directed at Krishna. Now here you have feminine and masculine nature interacting without any Krishna. There's something wrong here. This is not right. So that's the whole point. The Vedic culture is to make that distinction between them, so that you can understand what is what. And then you understand what's the nature of something, so you deal with it accordingly. See? If you only partially take it, if you don't understand it's the dharma of the thing, then either one is critical or one is it's intellectual. Right? It's like that, but it has to be applied. Right? Therefore, if you know, someone's like a child who can't take care of himself. You can't just say, yeah, why don't you get it together and take care of yourself? No, it's just the way they are. Therefore, you have to take care of them. These dogs are going to go around and sniff everything. You don't like that, don't have a dog. See? You can't expect a dog's going to do something different. Actually, it's like I always wanted a nice parrot, so you know, train the dog to be a parrot. And, you know, eat crackers and sit on the branch there, and you know, flap its legs, you know, something like that. Squawk instead of bark. And it won't happen. So you want something that squawks and eats crackers, then you get a parrot. You want something that, you know, sniffs and barks, you get a dog. Like that. You understand the application? You say you have to take that and apply it. Means you want something that's, how you say, can't do anything and yells and screams and makes a mess, then have a kid. Right? Like that. You know, if you want something, you know, simultaneously pleasant and nasty and crazy, then get a wife. You understand? So, it means you have to know what you're getting into. And then you have to buy the whole thing. Right? The car is great, but you know, you have to have a garage, you have to put petrol into it, you have to maintain it, you have to have a driver. If you don't want all that, don't get one. Otherwise, you just have a nice car sitting there in the street. You have a very nice car. Oh, why don't you go for a drive? Only for looking. So you see the nature of it, and then you get it. So that's the thing: is Brahmachari analyzes and then he sees, do I want to get into this or not? Because everything has its good and bad, but you have to take both. That's the Vedic culture. It means. Whether you accept both or not, both will come. That's the thing. The modern culture has this illusion that I only accept the good part and the bad won't come. Right? I have a really good looking chick, you know, that wears half of her clothes, and you know, but she will be very faithful to me and everything like that. No, she looks good, everybody's looking at her, she's looking at everybody else. Right? She's with you because you're spending the money today, but if she finds someone else to spend more or you run out of money, then gone. Right? Or someone else sees that she looks better than the one she's got, then they're thinking, no, all nice and I'll be everything wonderful, but it's not. So they're trying to get one side and leave the other. But you can't get it. It doesn't work like that. You know, so the Vedic culture is the realistic culture. The modern says, well, you have to be realistic, but it's not realistic. You know? It's like the thieves saying you have to be honest. Right? But they're not honest. They're the thieves. So the same way as the modern culture protects itself as being very broad-minded and all this, but it's not. It's very narrow. Its focus is simply the senses. That's all. And to enjoy the senses, you have to have money. That's all. So money would Hiranyakashipu was finished. So it's not broad-minded. It's very typical. It's nothing special. It's nothing different than any other non-Vedic cultures projected since time immemorial. It's all the same. A little different. Not as well dressed. A little more dressed than the African tribals, but not much. They're getting there. Like that. Let's give it some time.
There was one question related to this advancement of Brahmacharya action was happening in Samasa Ashram. Like, it's told to us that according to law of karma, a set of events arrange in a person's life so that he passes through those events and gets experience, thus he matures and evolves. The spiritual today, in fact, the spiritual. So, like, if he does Brahmacharya action, he enters, and if he is not going to get satisfied emotionally, something, and then he goes out of frustration for sannyas, what are the chances that he will be successful in evolving in sannyas?
You have an alternative. You have going through the grihastha ashram and being satisfied. Is that an alternative?
No, I mean to say.
No, is it an alternative? Right, you're presenting the point as if somebody goes through it and is frustrated, so then what's going to be the thing? But is there an alternative? Is there an alternative? That's there, but then, yeah, so that is there, but I'm saying, is there an alternative in Grihastha Ashram to not being frustrated? There's not. Because the illusion is that we are men and men need women. We are men, and therefore what is lacking in the man will be provided by the woman. And the woman thinks I am a woman, and what's lacking in me will be provided by the man. So that's an illusion. So it's not a matter of just, this is not frustration just based on senses. This is frustration based on knowledge. So what, the frustration is going to come anyway. Right? It's just like if you go stand out in the hot sun, you're going to get hot. Right? That's all. It's not like there's something. Frustration will be there. But now it's whether if you understand the knowledge, so therefore then you detach yourself from all this concept. Otherwise, if someone is untrained, then they get frustrated in one marriage. So then what do? Take a second one. When that's frustrated? That's frustrated? That's frustrated? Yeah. I just heard about someone married 8 times. Yeah. He's like 70 something. So that he has it in his budget. Every 2 to 3 years, he's going to spend a huge amount of money on divorce settlements and all these things. It's just in his budget. Right? So he's been married 8 times. So he's experienced. You know. So, but he doesn't know. He thinks that it's this woman. It's not really that woman, right? This woman. Right? But the Vedic knowledge just knows, no, it's all women. Women are a tattva. How do you know it's a woman? Right? Just like, you know, you can go anywhere in the world and tell it's a woman. Right? Because they move, they talk, they deal. It's like, you know, it's feminine. Even if they're tough, you know, even if Laura Croft comes walking along, you can still tell it's a woman. Right? So that's the thing, that because they're empowered with a certain potency that Krishna has given. right? They're just part of the universal form. Right? Women are just one part of the universal form. So it's going to work in the way Krishna is creating it. Right? So they just don't match, right? Like if you understand the principle, oil and water does not mix, then you just don't try. But someone who would think, well, I've heard olive oil is a little different, you know? And then you get some olive oil and you mix it and then it separates. Well, it's because it wasn't such good olive oil, you know? It was Spanish, it should have been Italian. Okay, so that's a good Italian. Well, it should have been extra virgin. Okay, like that. Well, let's try mustard oil. Yeah. But if you understand the principle, so the Vedic civilization aims to train us that the principle is there. So therefore, if you can understand it, it means you're going to hear it, and Brahmacharya hears it intellectually. Then, by his service, the Naistika realizes it. Right? And so then he's got the realization. So he doesn't need to get married. Upakurvana understands it, but hasn't realized it. So therefore, there's still some attachments, and some he gets married. But he watches it unfold, and it exactly as the Bhagavatam is explaining it, that's the way it is. So then after his time, then he says, you know, then he understands it. So then he comes to the same platform. Just he spent 30 years to get it, but the Brahmacharya, nice speaker, didn't have to do that. Right? They both studied it, and then one understood it in the process of the study, and the other had to spend an extra some years to get that. But the point is they both get the realization. So if one doesn't know this, and he's just frustrated and thinks it's this woman, then he takes sannyasa, yes, it may be a problem, because he still thinks women can give satisfaction. But when he understands women can't give satisfaction, therefore, then he can remain. That makes sense. Understand the principles behind it. What time is it now? Oh, so then we should stop. Shubha Prabhupada Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki, Tanya Tagore.